Hey everybody, how about a special episode of Micro Brew? It's supposed to be opening day. We're not getting it. It's raining in New York. Build a roof! And then we don't have to worry about these things. But we do expect to still have some Brewers baseball this weekend, Friday through Sunday. The forecast looks fine. So, you know, we have this extra day to fill a void here, to feel better about baseball when it's been taken away from us. So let's do that. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. I'm joined by my colleague.
You are the host.
I am the host, I think.
Hope I'm not the host.
I am joined by my colleague, Kurt Hoge. Let's talk a little baseball because there have been some developments since we last spoke. Not big ones, but the roster's been finalized. We know Garrett Mitchell now is going to be starting on the injured list. That's a huge, huge thing. We can make some last-second predictions here and look ahead to the season that is to come. Kurt, we will start with Garrett Mitchell. Fracture in his hand, his finger, I believe. He's going to miss 2 months, most likely, anywhere between 6 weeks and 9 weeks or something along those lines.
Nice. I mean,
not intentional, not nice. And this has been a recurring thing with Garrett Mitchell. He has been unable to avoid injuries in his career to this point. I don't think it dramatically changes what the Brewers are capable of necessarily. I think we've even discussed whether we feel like Garrett Mitchell is a player who can be a regular big leaguer and a standout big leaguer, and that's at least up for debate. But losing him doesn't help, certainly. So
that's right.
What does not help
unless Oliver Dunn mashes, which is possible. I would like to start the Oliver Dunn hype train right here, right now, because yes, I don't care about spring training results, but in a more real sense, I absolutely care about how players look in spring training. And Oliver Dunn was one of those guys where you're just like, yeah, that's a baseball player right there. So Oliver Dunn might play a lot. I hope he plays a lot. I picked him up in my dynasty league because I needed to fill some spots.
Great.
Bad.
Love talking fantasy sports.
I'm down horrendous. So I need the at-bats.
Two quick thoughts, because he did make the roster. He's essentially the 26th man. We assume Oliver Dunn makes the roster. This will be his big league debut because Garrett Mitchell was injured, we assume.
Correct.
And I'm curious about the decision to go with Dunn. I think that's an interesting call. But number two, speaking of spring training results, do you know, Kurt, who had a 963 OPS in 15 Grapefruit League games for the Washington Nationals?
I think yes, I do, because I also picked him up for my fantasy lineup.
I lost my headphones.
I had some injuries, and I don't want to play Jake McCarthy, so we're chasing at bats. I feel like it's last year all over again. Oh, Jesse Winker's got to still have it, right?
Jesse Winker has made the opening day roster.
He's hitting third on opening day for the Nationals. He was a non-roster guy. I feel like Brewers fans and Nationals fans are about to become best friends. either that or one will become the other's therapist.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot going on there, but we can come back to it.
I thought you were going in a totally different way with when you brought up spring training stats.
No, and we could talk about Eric Haas in a minute because I do want to do that. But let's get back to the main issue here, Garrett Mitchell's injury. What are the dominoes that fall from that, and how big of a loss is it? I mean, again, there is some question as to whether that bat plays right now as a big league bat. So it isn't a catastrophe, but it's obviously not something the Brewers were hoping for, not something anyone's really hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, the first domino is you got Sal Frelick in center field, which is certainly not a bad, like, that's an easy fill-in. And you could probably argue he's a better player in center field because his defense is a sure thing and it's good. And you might not need to hit as much as you do at third base. This could lead to more playing time for Joey Ortiz, but it's very clear the Brewers want another left-handed hitting infielder, someone they can play at third base. That's Oliver Dunn. It's no surprise that Oliver Dunn actually played a ton at third base this spring. You know, when he got traded over to the Brewers this offseason, he was viewed primarily, I think, as a second baseman. That's where he'd spent pretty much all of his time as a pro in the Phillies org. But he played almost exclusively third during games this spring. So, and there were some times where he looked more than capable. And I think on the whole, he pretty much held his own. So I'm not entirely sure how much the Brewers actually downgrade at third base with Sal Frelick not there. I mean, it's really hard to say because we don't know how his defense would have been. It seems like it could have been passable, but we really don't know until it actually happened. And again, this kind of goes back to way, way, way back when the, you know, Sal Frelick is trying the infield news first trickled out. It was like, I don't know, like at the end of the day, how much it's actually going to happen because the outfield is not proven. And on top of that, like they all need to be healthy too. So yeah, I do think the Brewers are pretty decently equipped to handle a 2 months without Garrett Mitchell. Like we've talked about, we're not even sure exactly what to expect out of him, even though he had looked pretty good this spring. So yeah, I think they'll be in a fine spot. Blake Perkins will be a lot more will be probably asked of him being, you know, maybe playing every day against lefties in center field, although perhaps that was what was going to happen anyway. But yeah, I think that's where we're at with this.
Here is why I am so high on Brock Wilkin, the first round pick, the
third. Ooh, pick. I did not expect Brock Wilkin to get dropped in the first 6 minutes of this pod.
Well, you're right. But here, what you said really has struck a chord with me. They tried Luis Arias there. Luis Arias was not a natural third baseman. They've tried Andrew Monasterio there, who, you know, can play there, but he doesn't have the bat for that. They've tried Sal Frelick, you know, an outfielder, make him a third baseman. They're trying Oliver Dunn. They're trying Joey Ortiz, who
Tyler Black
was a shortstop / second baseman. Tyler Black, who's, you know, they're working on that. Third base might be where he ultimately ends up. But like, why don't they just go get a third baseman? Why has this been so difficult for them over the past? This is not a 1 year thing. This is a several year thing where they just don't have a third baseman.
What you're saying is while all the attention is focused on they can't get a first baseman, the reality might be they can't get a third baseman.
Yes. And I think here's why, because they have put such an emphasis on defense. And that is actually something we have not talked a lot about. They are still trying to, you know, flood their roster with excellent defensive players. This is why Blake Perkins is on this team. This is why Bryce Terang is so highly regarded. I mean, they love the defense and they have the results, right? Like this is a team that has been very, very good at run prevention, you know, because their defense is elite, elite, elite. So I get it. And third baseman typically, like, you know, you could the Nolan Arenados of the world are out there, but you're not going to find many guys that are just truly special on defense and then can also mash the ball like your normal stereotypical third baseman. It's just amazing to me that they cannot seem to fill that spot with a normal human third baseman. They're always trying to make something else happen. Well, Josh Donaldson, at least, you know, at least that was defensible, but that was like, we're desperate. Let's try to fill a gap. You know, that wasn't that wasn't part of their grand plan. That's why I just love the idea of Brock Wilkin. I love the idea of just like, can we just have a third baseman for once is sort of like, you know, is how I would look at it if I were them. And, you know, that's still not happening immediately, but that's where we are right now. And a lot of Oliver Dunn, get ready for that. Oliver Dunn at third, Jake Bowers at first, who says no. That game is going to be like Sunday. that's coming much sooner than people think. Oh, all right. So
some real good Sunday special opportunities with this team this year.
Yes. Oliver Dunn.
Vinny Capra?
Vinny Capra cannot be counted out. He is not on the big league roster at this time.
He's certainly on the 40-man roster.
He is. JB Bukauskas, you said, would be the first guy called up. He was about the last guy sent down. But let's talk about one other thing that we alluded to in their roster construction situation. Eric Haas, who has been still, you know, with this team right up until the bitter end, is you know, potentially not being released. I mean, not released. Like, there's a chance he's back with the Brewers in a minor league capacity. But he mashed all preseason. We're not going to get too excited about preseason numbers. Carrying three catchers is still a very, very difficult
thing. You aren't going to get too excited about spring training numbers. However.
Yeah.
No, I probably shouldn't either.
No, probably not. But the idea.
There's a but with Eric Haas. There's a little bit. There's a little bit of a however here, I think.
Tell me all about it. Tell me the however.
He hit a lot of balls. Like, every ball he hit was hard. Mm-hmm. And he did make a couple of, like, notable changes to his approach and his swing, or at least his like setup.
Yeah.
That, you know, you could kind of put one and two together and get two and a half. You can't get all the way to three. Okay. But you're starting to inch there. Like, okay, maybe some of this is legit. And he has a bit of a track record too. But no, it was very clear for a while, and I think we relayed this pretty well, that Eric Haas was not going to make this team. Garrett Mitchell got hurt. They had an injury to a key player. Like, if every excuse to put Eric Haas on the team this week.
Right.
And they still didn't do it. So no. Eric Haas was not making this team. He was never making this team short of a Gary Sanchez or William Contreras injury. And I think you could kind of read through the comments from Pat Murphy on that.
I agree with you. And there's another guy, and I don't want to get too far away from Eric Haas if there's more to say there, but like Joey Weimer would have been a natural guy to bring onto this roster too. Oh, you just lost your center fielder, Garrett Mitchell. No worries. Bring in Joey Weimer, who is, granted, right-handed hitting versus Garrett Mitchell being from the left side, but you bring in a guy who showed all year long that he could play a credible center field. Now, he's working through some things with his swing, but I am surprised that they didn't go with Weimer here. Last year at this time, they went with Weimer when they had an opening. I'm surprised they didn't do that versus going with Oliver Dunn, but it's pretty clear they want Joey Weimer to do a little bit of work in the minors.
Yeah, Joey Weimer's the guy who's got to get every day at bats because there's a swing change. He's already a guy that kind of needs that.
It's a great point.
Because there's, you want to unlock what's there, and it has not been unlocked yet. So, yeah, out of all those guys, I think he's the one you probably need like the most. If he's going to be in the big leagues, the most needs to be getting every day at bats. And then you just kind of look at the roster, like, you know, Sal Frelick replaces Garrett Mitchell as a left-handed hitting primary center fielder. So you lose Garrett Mitchell, but you don't really lose Garrett Mitchell because Sal Frelick replaces him. What you lose then is the third baseman. And Oliver Dunn is the left-handed hitting third baseman. It's still weird to talk about Sal Frelick in that capacity. Yeah. It's going to be funny if he like never plays third base at all this year, which is a very real possibility depending on how the roster, you know, kind of shakes out. After, you know, spending so much time there in spring training and being a legitimate possibility for them, like that was plan A up until Saturday or Sunday or whenever Garrett Mitchell, I think it was Saturday, he was taking batting practice and hurt his hand.
Mm-hmm. Also, Robert Gasser is hurt, so that's a pretty crushing blow too.
How was your spring, Milwaukee Brewers?
My gosh, no Devin Williams, no Wade Miley. You know, no Taylor Clark.
Taylor Clark. That matters. That matters.
We got Brian Hudson a spot on this team. Gasser is a big one. And I would argue it's bigger than Garrett Mitchell because
Very defensible, I think.
It's probably not going to be the case only because it may not be that long of a loss. But, you know, to say something is a weeks long recovery here, or, you know, that's for a pitcher, that's significant. You're thinking Robert Gasser for sure was going to be there in that 13 game stretch. And, you know, if not then at some point in April, which is off the table now, and their pitching depth is, we've talked about it. Like they better get something out of it because they're top of the line. There's not a lot there. So suddenly
the starts turn to probably what Aaron Ashby starts.
Kurt, is Aaron Ashby even like, we have no guarantee that Aaron Ashby pitches at the big league level this year. I think that seems crazy.
I will guarantee he does.
Okay, but fine.
I'm not sure the velocity has quality.
To come back though. If it doesn't,
I'm not sure the quality.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sold on that.
Yeah. So they're down in their pitching depth now too. And that's tough.
Yeah. And you mentioned there could be weeks for Robert Gasser, but I'm always taking the over on these injuries.
Yes.
It's kind of just been a rule of thumb the last couple of years, but now it's really a rule of thumb.
Yep. That's
rule of thumb plus index finger.
Yeah.
Maybe the middle, like maybe so a rule of fractured. Three fingers.
So many little bones in the hand, Kurt. So
like
many
when on Sunday, I don't think I tweeted out because I didn't want to like a little how the sauce is made. I didn't really want to cause alarm. Garrett Mitchell was planned. The plan was to have him in the lineup on Sunday. And then we went in Pat Murphy's office like, oh, he's just dealing with a little bit of a hand soreness thing. You know, took a swing in batting practice like, oh, okay, Garrett Mitchell. I mean, they don't sound concerned about it, but the alarm bells definitely started going off in the head. And once again, it was an injury that proved to be far worse than was initially like let on.
Mm-hmm.
The Taylor Clark thing was, you know, oh, he's got a little knee thing. He's getting surgery.
Yeah.
Kevin Williams, we know what happened there.
Yeah.
There were opinions.
Wade Miley didn't even want to sit down, but you knew he was.
Wade Miley. Yeah. I actually think he probably could have pitched on opening day.
Okay.
But there was the opening week, there was a little bit of groin soreness, like a separate injury. Which is really not really an injury, but he just didn't recover great from a previous start. But that's all part of the picture, right? Is like, yeah. Okay, he's 50-50 for opening day. Definitely take the 50 that he's not on opening
sure.
day.
Well, he's an older guy. They've got off days early in the season or an off day, I guess.
So I would expect Robert Gasser to take a little longer than initially planned. Just based on our track record here.
Yes, that is brutal. Yes, the line being like, oh, he's just sitting down for a day with soreness. He's lost for the year. That's the assumption.
There was another line from Pat Murphy, like when we were, again, more on this really interesting stuff, how the sauce is made. Very, very fascinating to no one but me. But when we were slowly trying to figure out who's on the roster, and it was told that Thiago Vieira was on the roster, there was a comment about how he's got to survive a back-to-back, you know, pitching on two straight days. And, you know, the previous time he tried doing it, you know, they shut it down a little early. And it was like, okay, what's going on with Thiago Vieira? So apparently he's fine. And he did this back-to-back just fine. But
yeah,
it's little things like that. Those are the things that open your eyes a little bit of like, what's going on here?
Well, John Heyman had the report about Jackson Churio, how he's had an injury that extends back to his youth that they're constantly monitoring. That's not going to stop him from playing on opening day or anything, or you know, maybe at all. But it's like, man, where are these things coming from? You know, like this is coming off a year where arguably your best and at least your second best pitcher going into the playoffs just like had something pop up that ended up costing him an entire season of baseball. You know, like the Brewers fans are just like taking bullets left and right when it comes to the injury situation. Real quickly, though, with Garrett Mitchell, I always push back when the label injury prone gets thrown around, especially in something like the NFL, where it's like, of course, you're injury prone. Missiles are being projected toward you in the form of like, you know, 260 pound human beings trying to bring you down to the ground. It's not quite the same with baseball. But now this is, you know, the thing that happened to him last year was a freak on field incident. You know, you can't really say that there's a trend there. But injuries have been part of his story, you know, going way back. He's still obviously very young and, you know, you'd have no idea how this goes. But I guess like how fair is that to say, is injury just going to be part of his story the whole way through? You know, like I don't know when you ultimately raise that alarm bell or if it's appropriate ever to raise that alarm bell. But, you know, like at some point, that's kind of been his story thus far.
Yeah, it is. It is tricky whenever you're talking about injuries and like a guy's history and especially I mean, for pitchers, I think like there's a lot more of a clear line sometimes, you know.
For sure.
A guy like Wade Miley is injury prone. I think he would say it. The team certainly says it. It's just part of the equation with him and his arm, his shoulder and all, you know, the elbow and all that stuff. I do think with Garrett Mitchell, you certainly have to acknowledge he's had a very tough time staying on the field since he's been drafted. It's an electric package of tools. But there's been difficulty, you know, being able to not put it together consistently on the field, but like be on the field to consistently put it together. So I don't know how much farther like you can go with it than that. I don't know like how, you know, to what degree you can put a line between all these events and, you know, whether you want to classify guys injury prone or not, or if that even matters, if it's semantics or not. But yeah, he's had a tough time staying on the field. It's made evaluating him a little more difficult. And I know, but you also know, like it's not, there's no one more frustrated by it than the player himself. Opening day center fielder last year, won the job, missed the whole year.
Hit a walk-off home run in the first home series.
Exactly, was playing really well. Mm-hmm. Opening day center fielder this year, 4 days before opening day, breaks his hand. So yeah, it's just tough. Injuries suck. And that's kind of where we're at.
What is the depth chart of center field? Frelich starts. I think then it's Blake Perkins before you see Churio in center field.
But yeah, are we gonna talk about Blake Perkins, elite defender?
We can. We've talked about him, but yeah, what more? I mean, we could talk about just the
last. I have nothing else to add other than elite. Buy your Blake Perkins stock now, kids.
I'm not going to do that.
Well. Okay, more for me.
Oh yes, more for you.
More for me.
I mean, I appreciate great defenders. I've seen them all this past
year. Maybe people should have listened to my stock advices. I was Aaron Ashby preseason.
Look, that was you were banking on some things going right that haven't gone right yet, but okay,
Oliver Dunn and Blake Perkins.
Those are the stock you want investments in. Okay.
Maybe I'll just tell people to buy Jackson Churio stock. How's that? How does that sound?
I mean, the stock sale's already been underway, I'm afraid. You're gonna have to get ahead of it. Do you think Blake Perkins can hit? Do you think he could get to a level where he is because it's not gonna take much, right?
He doesn't have to hit it. I mean, he hit a little bit last year, not a ton. and it was still enough to be a really, really good player. Like, that's all it takes. That's all I'm saying. That's all it takes.
I hear you. That's true. And
theoretically, he's capable of doing. You got two sides to hit from. All you got to do is be good from one of them. They'll platoon you.
And yeah, and once you're that level of defense, you're going to be a positive WAR player. So,
those guys will be taking pretty much all the center field reps, I think. I don't expect to see much of Jackson Chourio in center field.
Okay,
so he's not off the bat, at least. If he proved himself in right field, then they can slide him over if they need to. You know.
Okay, let's do some predictions. Do some predictions. I don't think.
Yeah, let's predict.
Okay, who, Kurt, let's start with the awards. Those are more fun. Who wins the MVP in the American League or the National League?
In the American League, the MVP in the American League is Adley Rutschman.
Oh, I like that. Very good pick. Yeah.
We did no prep on these. None.
No, we absolutely are doing
this. Vibes-based predictions, which is how I felt on my ballot, too. Vibes, baby.
Especially with Cy Young, vibes are a really good bet because the names you see here are not going to be the names that come up. Even midway through the year is my guess, but anyway, keep going. NL MVP, who you got?
I should probably take a Dodger, right? Like, that's probably the safe pick.
Mookie Betts.
That's lame. I can't do that. I can't.
Second best odds to win National League MVP at this point.
It's going to be the National League most valuable player this year. Will be, you know what? I'm going Phillies. Phillies are going to have a great year. Bryce Harper.
Oh, I love that. Wow, I love that. Late career? Can we call that for Bryce Harper? I think we're kind of in the late career phase for him, or at least second half of the career. Okay, I like that. For me, AL MVP, Yordan. Going Yordan Alvarez.
Oh, yep, that's
safe. Not completely safe. He's got long shot odds, I would say, relative to like Juan Soto and Julio Rodriguez.
Well, yeah, he's like, he just primarily, DH/bad left field, right? So,
yeah. I still
adore neither that. Of us are taking premium defenders.
That's no.
Risky proposition.
Yeah. As for NL MVP, I'm going to say Fernando Tatis Jr. I like this to be the year that he makes that bounce back. So
do you think voters will be able to overlook, you know,
personal life
the,
stuff,
the sins
I
being popped?
Do think so. I okay. think we're at a stage where that isn't going to be something that's held against you for the rest of your career. Maybe so long as you don't give a press conference telling people how right you were. But
I would have voted Braun for 2012 MVP. I was also 17. So,
I think in 2012, he was still seen as vindicated. So that was an okay thing.
2012 was his good year. Yeah.
I do think, I mean, it will certainly be a storyline. If Tatis is this good, if the Padres are good in a very tough division, then I do think that's a storyline. All right, Cy Young, what say you? By the way, NL Cy Young, third best odds for winning the NL Cy Young, Freddie Peralta, 12 plus.
Really? 12. Third best?
Yeah, you got wow. Strider at 425, Zach Wheeler at 1,000. I've seen Zach Wheeler is a popular
pick. He's ahead of Gallen?
He is, which doesn't make sense to me. Why is Zach Gallen? He is not in the top six here because after Peralta, you have Max Fried, Logan Webb, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, which is how I know this is a current year projection with him in his first year. So Zach Gallen, man, put some respect on that man's name.
You know who I sneaky like this year is Logan Webb.
Yeah, he's in the
mix. I think they improved the defense. He's going to eat innings. And I think voters are kind of like, slowly creeping back towards innings are sexy. Ooh, a t-shirt. Let's make t-shirts.
Innings are sexy.
I'll give Colin Ray one.
He won't appreciate the joke. I don't think it is a joke. It's a little obscure, don't you think?
It's a way of life. Colin Ray's going to eat innings for this team.
Innings are
sexy. How many innings do you think Colin Ray throws this year? Give me an exact number.
161.
I'm going to go 157.2.
That's really close to my prediction. I'm going to say 120 now to be different. Okay. Okay, so you like Logan Webb. What about American League?
Colin Ray, 157.2. American League, let's go with Garrett Cole's hurt. Justin Verlander's hurt. I picked Framber Valdez last year, and I think it blew up in my face. Or did it? No, I picked a different Astro. Who else pitches in the American League? Shane Bieber, he's not good anymore. Pablo Lopez.
I like that. That's a good pick. That's a good
Pablo pick. Lopez. That's my pick.
I'm going to go with Luis Castillo of the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, that's a really good
pick. It's hard to ignore Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns of the Baltimore Orioles. Hard to ignore. He is one of
the. Yeah, he's in the American League this year, that fellow.
Yes. I'm going to go with Zach Gallen in the National League. I think it's completely disrespectful that he's not in the top six names among Cy Young.
Yeah, leaving Zach Gallen off your top five on the Cy Young ballot is just disrespectful.
That's a little inside joke that we don't need to unpack just yet.
Just look at BBWA ballots. That's all.
Last one, because I don't want to do Manager of the Year. That's boring. Rookie of the Year?
That's a dumb award. Although Craig Counsell is absolutely winning Manager of the Year.
He's going to win Major League Manager of the Year.
Absolutely winning Manager of the Year.
That's our Stone Cold Lock, friends.
Yes.
Rookies of the Year? This requires a little bit more knowledge, I suppose.
So, I want to say Yamamoto, but A, that's cheaping out, and B, I don't think players like him should be eligible. You know, professional players in Japan or... Japan, like when Ohtani came over, he shouldn't have been eligible for rookie. Like, those types of players are not rookies. They're not on the same playing field as 20-year-old Jackson Chourio. I'm sorry.
That's true.
Yamamoto just got the largest contract for any free agent pitcher ever, right? So giving him rookie of the year is a little tricky. Now, if I'm a voter this year, that's an interesting tightrope to walk. We don't know what ballots we have yet. That comes out much later.
I had NL Rookie of the Year last year.
See, that is it is. I think it's an interesting discussion because, like, personally, I don't think that players like him or Kodai Senga should be eligible to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I voted Senga second last year.
However, by the rules, they are, and like that's probably what you should base your vote off of, right? Like, if he's eligible as so. Anyway, my pick is. Ooh, who is my pick? Victor Scott, maybe, for the Cardinals? No, he's not going to hit enough. Jackson Chourio. Let's go Jackson Chourio. Why not? This is the Microbrew Podcast presented by the Journal Sentinel. And we cover the Brewers.
And how about the AL?
The AL Rookie of the Year. Who are some of my fellows? Jackson Holliday.
Yeah, let me give you the list.
Wyatt Langford. I'm lame.
With the new guy, Wyatt Langford.
He's really good.
I mean, they're all new guys, but this guy's really new in professional baseball. Okay, so I will go off the board a little bit and go with Evan Carter. Nah, he's not off the board for the Rangers. He was sensational last year. I think he parlays that into a very good sensational during the postseason. I think he'll parlay that into a very good regular season. And in the National League, man, this is a tough one because if it's not Yamamoto, it could be Younghoe Lee or Shoto Imanaga, who are also newcomers from
same exact situation.
Churio's in there. I'm going to say Jackson Merrill. I'm going to go across the board. I don't know if I think the Padres are going to be that good, but I just gave them the MVP and the Rookie of the Year. So we'll see how that goes. I'm keeping an eye too on Colt Keith.
Colt Keith, yeah. But the defense, I have questions about the defense. Yeah, just enough.
Yes, well, defense doesn't win you the Rookie of the Year.
This is true, but can it lose you Rookie of the Year award? Mm. Like, no one's going to vote for a guy because he has a sexy F war because of his defense. Like, he hits, you know,
right.
710 OPS, but like, oh, but his defensive rating. However, if you have an 850 OPS and, oh, his defensive rating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I did give Nolan Jones my third place vote last year because his defense was pretty dang good out in the outfield.
No ball.
Lots of assists. Corbin Carroll won that award, running away though, so it wasn't really that hard. Okay.
RIP to your boy Matt McClain, by the way.
Oh, Matt McClain. There was a point in time because, again, how sauce is made or whatever, was thinking about the NL Rookie of the Year most of the season, and there was a period of time where Corbin Carroll had fallen off. It was, I want to say, August. He had really, really
bad. Diamondbacks had fallen off too.
Yes, the Diamondbacks were struggling. It didn't look like they were going to make the playoffs, man. I was so young and naive.
And then they got the Brewers.
Yeah. And Matt McClain of the Reds was truly sensational. And I loved him for a couple of reasons. One is he was legit. Two, the Reds had so many rookies on their team. He was so obviously the best of them. Even as Ellie De La Cruz got all that attention, he was really the guy who was driving the Reds' engine. The Reds were putting up a fight, thought they were going to be competing with the Brewers for the Central for a while there. Well, then Matt McClain got hurt. The Reds torpedoed. Corbin Carroll became like superstar level unlocked, and it was clear that he was going to win. But yeah, man, Matt McClain for a while there. Injuries, though.
I'd like to redo my vote. Corbin Carroll's going to win MVP.
Oh, interesting pivot. I don't think so. I don't think so. think he probably gets a, I think there's a little sophomore slump in there first, but
you're just a hater. You are a
hater. Just a hater. I gave Zach Gallen the MVP.
The Diamondbacks are kind of a tricky situation, right? Like in my mind, because I think of all their players in division. I'm like, oh yeah, he's gonna have a great year. Gabby Moreno, oh, all star.
Yeah.
Merrill Kelly, top five Cy Young. And then you kind of put the team together. I'm like, there's no way they do this again, right? No. Like, they missed the playoffs this year.
Yes, I think so. I mean, I don't know. Missing the playoffs is hard to do now when when seven teams get in. That said, here's what I want to do. I want to talk a little bit. We'll close with the Brewers again and the preseason projections that are out there for them with not even just projection systems. Just nobody thinks the Brewers are going to do well is kind of where we're at right now. But first, who we think wins the World Series? This is a fool's errand. We could say, oh, the Atlanta Braves and Dodgers will be two undisputed best teams in the National League and also not make the NLCS. That's just how it kind of goes. Give me your World Series and give me your champion though.
Give me the Phillies.
Yes.
Against the, I always want to pick the Twins, but I should never pick the Twins. That's a fool's errand. Can't go Yankees, Orioles. No, Phillies, Astros rematch. Maybe.
I like it.
Phillies, Astros rematch.
And who wins?
And the Philadelphia Fightin' Phillies win a World Series ring.
Give me the little chalky here, but give me the young, exciting upstart Baltimore Orioles over the Los Angeles Dodgers for the World Series title.
Exciting World Series.
It will be great. It's not going to be good.
But you're also relying on Corbin Burns to pitch three playoff series there.
I would love to see it though. I would. I would love to see him do well. I would love to see the success of Jackson Holliday and Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson all put together. Colby Mayo. Wish you were a Brewer. Colby Mayo. He would fit perfectly in the condiment section of American Family Field. It'd be really cool to see all those guys work it out. I don't know if they have the pitching besides Corbin Burns, but
speaking of secret stadium sauce.
Yes. Go on.
Colby Mayo.
That's what I'm going with right there. Colby Mayo, rookie of the year, question mark, maybe.
So much talk on this episode about condiments.
Yes. The Milwaukee Brewers are not thought of as a team that's going to win this division. This is a team that won 92 games last year. They did obviously subtract some things. They've gained some things. We've talked a lot about that. We do think they are a worse team than they were this time last year. Unquestionably, I think that's true. You are hard-pressed to find someone who picks the Brewers to even finish second in this division. I have seen people picking the Brewers. I've seen people pick the Brewers to finish last, which I will point out has not happened since 2004, since Mark Attanasio bought the Milwaukee Brewers.
That is the mark of a successful franchise.
The mark.
Don't finish last. That was me my freshman year in track and field races.
So much coping, trying to justify. You know what? I once ran the sausage race when I was an intern in 2003. I was the Italian sausage. Thanks for asking. Wait, no, I wasn't. I was the Polish sausage. My bad. But I beat the Italian sausage. I took third of four. And you better believe that I am proud of taking third out of four.
You definitely should be proud.
I mean, look at me. Well, you can't. Well, maybe if you're watching us on the Journal Sentinel YouTube channel, shouts to you guys. Like and subscribe, please. But if you know what I look like, you think to yourself, whoa, that guy, if he puts on a sausage costume, and he should never do that, but if he did, he would take fourth of four or fifth of five. He is a last place kind of guy, but I didn't. I took third out of four. Pretty proud of that. Not last place. That's the key. Brewers haven't done that in a long time. Will they be last place this year? I don't think they'll be last place, actually, but
that would be bad.
Are we sleeping on them? I mean,
yes, I think people are.
Okay.
I think we are.
Yeah, because I think they're going to be below 500. I'm saying it right now, 80 and 82 at best.
I've got them at what? I think my mailbag said 82 and 80.
Okay. So
I guess that's legally binding, so I have to stick with it.
Sure. So you think just above 500? I think just below. Either way, 500.
Like an 86 win ceiling seems like a ceiling.
Yeah.
Given the state of the pitching staff.
They need somebody on the pitching staff to emerge as like a dude. And if that happens, and it could, then I don't know. Maybe, everyone stays healthy and maybe they do win 86, 87.
Gray Peralta could be a top three Cy Young guy. William Contreras and Christian Yelich could get MVP votes.
Rhys Hoskins bounces back in a great way. Jackson
Trios in the rookie of the year race. And you put all that together and then, 86 wins.
I mean, that sounds right. Like, It sounds like everything has to go right for them to even be contending. But are we sleeping on them? Because this team, it's not like they blew your doors off with their offense, at least last year, and they won 92 games. Are we crazy for talking ourselves out of them being a contender? We're not. No, we're probably not.
Mm-mm. But I do think we are sleeping on them just a little bit.
We'll see. We're going to see real soon. They play the New York Mets on Friday now with the Thursday rain out. Very sad. Build a roof. But we will be back at American Family Field. You will be there on April 2nd. I will be there on April 2nd. The Minnesota Twins and Cy Young winner Pablo Lopez someday soon will be there. It's going to be a good time. You and I are going to have a great time. We're going to do some video on the field. Again, you can find that on the Journal Sentinel YouTube channel. And again, like and subscribe. We'll be in writing stories and whatnot as well. We'll have our live blog. It'll be a great time. Kurt's going to be wearing a suit. Todd Rosiak will be there.
I don't think I'm going suit this year. I think I decided I'm just going to go shirt and tie.
Oh, you changed your mind. Okay. Shirt and tie is good. If I showed up in a shirt and tie, I think people would find that intriguing because that's just not my thing. So maybe I do that. Maybe we meet in the middle. You come down from suit. I move up, upgrade from, you know, polo and sloppy jeans, and we meet in the middle. That would be cool.
If we can get Todd to wear a shirt and tie too, that pic on Twitter better get like 900 likes.
Well, now we have something to shoot for. Looking forward to making this happen. He's Kurt Hoag. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. Thank you for tuning into this edition of Microbrew, the special edition, the special our opening day got rained out edition. We will be back again at the end of the week, at the beginning of the next one, looking back at that Mets series and getting you set for the home opener. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Bye-bye.